most people regard sacrifice as a bitter pill to swallow, even if it has a sugar coating. Now, however, I think many of us fail to realize that life of every single one of us depends on many sacrifices. Like, for example, the sacrifice that all mothers undergo before giving birth. Even in the case of a normal birth, the last stage of pregnancy is always tough and demanding on the expectant mother. Let's take a look at the simple physical aspects of childbirth. Now, we all know that breathing is the essence of life, right? In the case of an expectant mother, she actually has to breathe for two, her own self and the baby that she's carrying. Initially, the demands of the growing baby for oxygen are modest, but towards the end of pregnancy, the mother finds that breathing for two becomes increasingly difficult. I don't know if you have noticed how many mothers, they often gasp while walking, or sometimes even when they're doing something simple like talking. So in fact, birth is just the mechanism by which nature expels the baby out into the world, almost as if saying, okay, listen, enough is enough. Your mother has sacrificed enough for you, and from now on, you're going to be breathing for yourself. However, the sacrifice of a mother never stops just at childbirth, right? It continues throughout the child's life, where the child becomes the mother's joy and entire life itself. They would stop at nothing to protect their children. Probably most of you would have heard the story of the mother who covered her own child with her body to protect the baby from harm during the Japanese earthquake. This mother was found in a position that looked as though she was protecting something. She had formed a human shield around her son as the building collapsed around her. Well, the child survived, of course, but the mother sacrificed her life to save him. She even left a note on her cell phone for the child that read, "If you can survive, you must remember that I love you." Such was the love of that mother for her child. So stay tuned, dear listeners. We will continue with our reflections on sacrifice today. And for now, here is some soul-stirring music.
Take me away, won't you carry me?
Welcome back, dear listeners. The question that now arises is sacrifice necessary? Right? Can we be happy without sacrifice? Let's listen to something that Swami had said. Swami says, always remember that tyaga or sacrifice is the highest and the best form of sadhana. You have to sacrifice your time, money, resources and energy. You should at least offer a tulsi leaf to God in worship. The Vedas declare, tyage naike amritatvamanushuhu. Sacrifice make you attain immortality. Tyaga is yoga, spiritual exercise. Love expresses itself as sacrifice. Love without sacrifice is meaningless and totally selfish. You have to sacrifice the body feeling or attachment to the body. You have to sacrifice your wicked thoughts and bad feelings. Sacrifice is your true nature. Sacrifice is a divine quality gifted to man. In fact, you're not doing anything great and special by sacrifice. You're doing it for your own good. A yogi once noticed a cow struggling for life in a river. He went and rescued it. So someone asked him, "Why did you save the cow?" The yogi replied, "I saved the cow for my own happiness. I couldn't see the cow suffering. Many might have passed that way and noticed the cow in its miserable plight, but did not do anything to save it. Therefore, sacrifice is an opportunity given to man." Well, sacrifice also finds great prominence in the religion of Christianity. They believe crucifixion of Jesus Christ as his ultimate sacrifice. Well, more on that later. Now, let's play some beautiful music. Here is a song that is very special to my heart. Well, let me tell you some story behind the song. This happened when I was doing my PhD in Swami's college, and one day I was walking down on the road leading from college to the hostel. In fact, actually I was going to the post office for some work. I don't remember exactly what. And as I was walking, this tune began to play in my head. So I began to hum a tune. Right? And when I thought of it, I thought, this could be a good piano-based song. I could imagine some piano in the background and I felt it will suit very well. So immediately after my work, I rushed to the hostel, I powered up my laptop and recorded the tune. And one of my friends, who is a very good musician himself, who is a singer, who plays a beautiful keyboard, who is a music arranger, he came to my room for some work, and then I asked him, you know, see, this is a tune that I just composed today morning, so can you take a look at it and add some piano in the background? So he heard the tune and then he worked on it for a few hours, and by evening we had a nice little song ready. So then I sent that skeletal structure to another friend of mine in Bangalore who does a lot of freelance writing, because I'm very poor at writing lyrics. So he helped me write the lyrics, and within 4 to 5 days the song was ready. And in the hostel when I was there, I used to have a pretty good recording system in my room. A USB sound card and Audio Technica 80-20-20 microphone. So I recorded my vocals, you'll hear in this song, is actually recorded in my hostel room where I stayed during my PhD days. So dear listeners, here is that song. It is called Magic of Your Love, and I dedicate this song to the Sri Sathya Sai Senior Students Hostel for giving me the best days of my life ever. skies, and I know you can be far. Wherever I go, I know there you are. And I've been praying all along, and I've been singing a song. Days of sorrow, where they are now. The rays of the golden sun, and gone are the clouds. Oh, what can I say but to love about the way you help me fly high in the sky. And I've been singing. Dear listeners, welcome back. Let's now talk about the virtue of sacrifice as in the religion of Christianity. So anyone familiar with the Bible or the story of Jesus Christ will first think about his sacrificial death to atone for the sins of mankind. The followers of Christian faith believe that Jesus' crucifixion was the greatest act of sacrifice in the history of the world, which is a perfect demonstration of his own teaching, that is, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. In fact, Jesus states in John 3 to Nicodemus that the ultimate sacrifice is his primary purpose of his incarnation, and I quote, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. For God did not send his Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." John 3:14 and 17. Jesus was, as described by John the Baptist, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, who was slain from the foundation of the world. Revelation 3:8, 13:8. The Apostle Peter has something interesting to say too. He says, "Knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you and I." So the Apostle Paul advises us that, like our Savior Jesus Christ, we must be willing to sacrifice whatever it takes to press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And let me now conclude with the words of John 14:4, "The glorious life of the coming kingdom of God is attained through sacrifice."
Love in our hearts.
Welcome back, dear listeners. Let's now see what our beloved Bhagwan himself has said about the virtue of sacrifice. In a discourse he gave for his 70th birthday, Swami says, "You must realize that life is like a two-winged bird. The two wings are love and sacrifice. With these, you must aspire to reach the supreme goal." What is that men should do to promote the welfare of society? People claim to render social service, but their motives are self-centered. On the contrary, they should be conscious of all that they offer to society and render service in a spirit of selflessness. They should recognize their identity with society. Another story that Swami narrates to exemplify sacrifice goes like this. This is taken from the book Satyopanishad. A householder one day wanted to serve food to Brahmins as part of a ritual he was performing. Finally, he could get one poor old Brahmin who agreed to dine at his house. The Brahmin came and he hurriedly started eating the food which was placed before him. Now the householder thought, what kind of a Brahmin is he? He didn't even take his bath or did any puja. He didn't even say a prayer before eating food. This is not punya to feed such a man. This guy, he grew so angry that he took a stick and he beat that Brahmin and drove him out of his house. On that night, the householder got a dream in which God appeared and told him, "Why did you invite the old Brahmin for food and beat him? Why did you turn him out wringing his neck? After all, you could not feed him even for one day while I have been giving him food for all these 80 years. What a shame." So like how Swami says, love of God is devotion, which has to be expressed as sacrifice. Love is sacrifice. Sacrifice is prema yoga, the path of love to God. Sacrifice is yoga. If you have this faith, devotion and steadfastness, this would get strengthened and deep-rooted. Through the path of jnana or self-enquiry, proceed through atma-vichara, follow and experience God. It is said, the practical wisdom obtained from tyaga is the only way to kaivalyam or liberation. This is a process beyond the mind and the activity performed by the body. Only then will you be able to achieve the expected results and attain ananda, that is bliss. So stay tuned, dear listeners. We'll be back again after a short musical break. We will have some stories from Mahabharata for you after the next two songs.
Sivan Sundaram ಸುಂದರ ರೂಪ ಸಾಯಿ ನಂದಲ ಸುಂದರ ರೂಪ ಸಾಯಿ ನಂದಲ
Welcome back, dear listeners. Talking about sacrifice, I can't help but tell the story from the epic of Mahabharata. Now, of course, Mahabharata is my favorite epic. I remember when I was in the Vrindavan campus during the summer vacation, after morning darshan was over, every day I would go to the library, and in the library we used to have the entire Mahabharata collection in VCD format. That is the Mahabharata. I'm talking about the Mahabharata TV serial that is to come on Doordarshan. I mean, I forgot who had produced it. It was so beautifully done. So I used to watch it, and it was such a learning experience. I had watched it when I was small. It used to come on Sunday mornings. But somehow that time it was just a beautiful, you know, nice story with lot of fight scenes and lot of wars. And that time I don't think there was any other program done by an Indian production company which had this many wars and such grand costumes and all that. So that time Mahabharata was just a fascination because of these kind of stuff. But when I watched it later, when I was kind of reaching 20 years old, it was such an amazing learning experience, and I did it throughout the summer. Every day I would watch one or two episodes. And the story of Karna is something Swami himself had narrated in many of his discourses, and Swami tells in his discourse that there is nobody equal to Karna when it comes to making sacrifices and charity. So this story happened after the great Mahabharata war came to a close on the 17th day with the fall of Karna. And the Pandavas were celebrating their great victory over Karna, but Krishna was sitting apart and appeared to be immersed in sadness. Now Arjuna went to Krishna and asked why he was feeling so dejected on the day when he should be rejoicing because they just won the war. Krishna told Arjuna that Bharat had lost its most heroic warrior on that day. The hero who had brought glory and good name to Bharat had fallen. On hearing these words, Arjuna looked at Krishna with a feeling of amused surprise. He said, "Krishna, to ensure the victory of the Pandavas, you chose the role of our charioteer, and because of that, Pandavas won the war. Now, instead of rejoicing over the victory, why are you feeling sad over the fall of our enemy?" Krishna replied, "Dear Arjuna, Karna is the very embodiment of sacrifice. Sacrifice is a synonym for Karna. In the entire world, you cannot find another man equal in the spirit of sacrifice of that of Karna. In happiness or sorrow, triumph or defeat, he could not forget the quality of sacrifice. Have you got that spirit of sacrifice?" Krishna then asked Arjuna to follow him into the battlefield where Karna lay struggling and waiting for his last birth. Before approaching Karna, Krishna assumed the form of a Brahmin. And Karna asked him, "Who are you, sir?" Even at that moment, Swami says, there was no hesitation or faltering in his voice. Krishna, disguised as a Brahmin, replied, "For a long time have been hearing about your reputation as a charitable person. You have acquired fame as Dan Veer Karna, that is Karna, the great giver. Today, not knowing about your plight, I came to ask you for a gift. You must give me a donation." "Certainly, I will give you whatever you want," replied Karna. Krishna, in the disguise of a Brahmin, replied, "I have to perform the marriage of my son. I want a little bit of gold." "Oh, what a pity. Please go to my wife. She will give you as much gold as you need," said Karna. Now the Brahmin broke into a laughter and said, "For the sake of little gold, I have to go all the way to Hastinapur. Now, if you say that you are not in a position to give me what I want, I will leave immediately." Now, that was something which Karna couldn't take. He opened his mouth, showed the gold fillings in his teeth and said, "I will give you this. You can take them." So, dear listeners, what happened next? Well, that have to wait. Did Krishna accept Karna's gift? We will be right back with the story after some more music, so stay tuned.
That which cannot be said. waiting for you to decide. No more hesitating. Your heart is your guide. His voice is deep inside. Love is the answer. Trust in God's mercy and know that He cares. He's there right beside you and He hears every prayer. The Lord is everywhere. Love is the answer. Rejoice side by side. The Lord of creation is here to provide. No one will be denied. Love is the answer.
Welcome back, dear listeners. We were talking about the story of Karna. That is, we were telling how Karna had fallen towards the end of the Kurukshetra war and how Lord Krishna used it as an opportunity to teach Arjuna and of course the entire world a great lesson of sacrifice and to tell them what a great person Karna actually was. So what happens is Krishna goes to the battlefield disguised as a Brahmin and asks Karna, who is fallen from the arrow of Arjuna, that he wants some donation in the form of gold. And Karna, even at that stage, he tells Krishna that he has gold fillings in his teeth and is ready to give that gold fillings as an offering of donation. So what happens next? Does Lord Krishna accept it? Well, assuming a tone of revulsion, Lord Krishna said, "What is that you're suggesting? Do you expect me to break your teeth and extract the gold from them? How can I do such a wicked deed? I am a Brahmin." So immediately Karna picks up a stone and knocks out his teeth and he offers it to the Brahmin, who is actually Lord Krishna. But Lord Krishna wants to test Karna further. So he says, "What? Are you giving me as gift teeth dripped in blood? I cannot accept this. I am leaving." Now Karna pleaded, "Swami, please wait for a moment." And even while he was unable to move, Karna took out his arrow and aimed it at the sky. And immediately rain fell from the clouds, cleaning the teeth with the water. And Karna offered the clean teeth with both his hands to Krishna. And that time, Krishna reveals his original form and says, "I admire your spirit of sacrifice. In any circumstance, you have never given up on your spirit of sacrifice. Ask me, what do you want?" Beholding Krishna's beautiful form, Karna said with folded hands, "O Lord, who holds the universe in your palm, what can I seek from you? At the moment of my passing, I am fortunate to close my eyes gazing at your divine form. This is my greatest blessings. This is boon enough for me. To have the vision of the Lord before one's passing is the goal of human existence. You came to me and blessed me with your form. This is enough. I offer my salutations to you." Arjuna was observing the whole scene. So Krishna turns to Arjuna and says, "Are you prepared for this kind of a sacrifice?" Arjuna just bows his head in silence. "O Lord, that heart which you gave unto me, I am offering to you. What else can I bring to offer at your lotus feet? I prostrate before you. Please accept my offering." This was the prayer addressed by Karna to Krishna. So dear listeners, what you heard was the great story of sacrifice of Karna as narrated by our beloved Bhagwan in a divine discourse delivered in the 19th January 1997.
Blessing your sharing, touching souls through lives of caring. Shine on,
shine on,
shine on.
Welcome back, dear listeners. Let us recap something we have discussed today with some parting words from Bhagwan himself. Modern man submerged in attachment expect to live happily. Remember, each one is responsible for oneself. develop such feelings of sacrifice. For this reason, the Vedas advise, na karmana, na prajaya, dhanena, tyage naike amritattvamanashuhu. Not by good deeds, children or wealth, but by sacrifice is immortality attained. What is the meaning of sacrifice? Attachment, raga and hatred, dvesha, must be sacrificed. People talk about the Navagrahas who must be appeased so that our lives are free of misfortunes. Really, there are not nine, but only two grahas that we must be mindful of, attachment and hatred. These two put together put us through suffering. Renounce attachment, renounce hatred. This alone is true sacrifice, true renunciation. Cultivate thoughts of God and think of everyone's welfare. Samasta loka sukhino bhavantu. May all the beings in all the worlds be happy. You must pray in this manner every day. Do not limit yourself to your family, friends and relatives. Everyone must be happy. With such prayer, victory and peace will fill you. So gradually strengthen your spirit of sacrifice. What is sacrifice? You must sacrifice attachment and hatred. These feelings lie at the root of all possessiveness. So dear listeners, it is almost time for me to conclude. So this is Chandu Vijay signing off with a prayer that may all the beings in all the worlds be happy, happy and happy.
Shivaya, Shivaya.